WildTalkRadio.com.
Welcome, everyone, to Monday Night Raw.
Wild Talk Radio presents to you the Monday Night Raw post show.
So, what do you guys want to talk about?
Featuring Sir Rockin'.
If you're the man, what the Rock is cooking.
And Lindsay Ward.
Rest in peace.
Interact with us live and give us your thoughts on everything that happens on Monday Night Raw.
And that's the bottom line, because Stone Cold said so.
And if you're not down with that, we got two words for ya!
Because we believe in doing what is best for all of you.
Because after all, what's best for all of you is what's best for business.
Now step into the ring with us for the Raw Post Show.
This is Monday Night Raw!
We are in the era of a ruler. This is the Raw Post Show. Night After Mania. Presented as always by MBG Films, youtube.com/MBG1211. Chat if you have Amazon Prime, link to your Twitch account. It's not Prime Gaming, it's not Twitch Prime, it's just Prime. Click the purple button below the screen. You could use Creator Code RockSock or Lindsay and Warden in the Fortnite item shop or Epic Games, supported by Stone Cold Steve Austin. Liv Morgan, your new Women's World Champion. Cody Rhodes, your undisputed WWE champion. Or The Undertaker. Or K-pop Demon Hunters, or Toy Story. Or Brain Rod, and whatever else is coming this week. Hashtag epic partner. I'm the producer. That's Lindsay Ward.
I don't know about anybody else. I had a WrestleMania hangover this morning. So they did something right last night, because I woke up this morning and I was just like, damn. But yes, this is the Raw After Mania, and dare I say, it felt like a Raw After Mania. Good God, did they kick off the summer stuff, and I'm here for it, all of it.
Oba Femi opened up Monday Night Raw dressed in a fancy suit. He strutted. And announced the ruler has arrived. And then strutted away. That felt like about a decade ago. Actually, 1 decade ago. This is my yard now.
Yup, sure did.
But instead of booze, this was Oba. Oba. Lots of that.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's such a shame he's not over. Just, it's awful. He's, dear God. This was exactly how you needed to handle this, especially since specific questions about what happened last night are still kind of up in the air. We don't quite know certain situations, so for right now, you have Oba come out, you have Oba celebrate, you have him own what he has done, which is he defeated Brock Lesnar, and you just sort of do the thing until you're ready to say whether or not Brock is done.
I mean, Heyman pretty much said he was done later, but maybe he's not done, who knows. But this was a perfect way to use Oba, where they have no real direction for Oba right now.
Yeah.
That they're going to present, because he's not going for the main, and if you're not going for the main, he's just going to show up, beat up people in the weeks to come. And if it were me, I would have a few confrontations this year where just Oba kind of makes his presence known that eventually he's coming for the champ.
Matt, I said that last night. Oba versus Gunther would be something. It would be something. It would be very much something to watch. Yeah, but at this point when Oba came out, Heyman hadn't done his thing yet.
Oh, I know. I'm just saying in the future, I feel like we're going to tease Oba for a while.
I think that's what you should do until you can sort of figure out where you want to put him, just to keep him relevant and keep him strong. he's riding a wave of success right now, so keep that going, where he kind of becomes unstoppable for a while.
Right. And right now, and people don't need him in 10-minute matches, 15-minute matches, because they want to watch him come to the ring, whoop ass.
Yeah, they want to do the strut.
And strut. It's a party when Opa's in town. And that's what you got to do.
If that's what's going on for him, I love that for him. I really seriously do, because that's a sign that he is over.
I see what you did there.
I do try, chat. I do try.
So, we'll see. Up next, on Monday Night Raw, we had Rhea Ripley, Io Sky against the Kabuki Warriors, with Rio getting one last win together.
Let her take her wife with her.
Because later in the night, they said their goodbyes. Rhea
let her take her life. Don't break them up.
Rhea shared a little confrontation with Liv. Liv smiled. But this is the second goodbye, the final goodbye for now, as Rhea is taking the WWE Women's Championship to SmackDown full time. So,
yeah. Sad to see her go, but it's a good opportunity for her.
It gives people a reason to watch SmackDown to see Rhea bloody Ripley.
And considering what else happened on this show, it opens up some room for some other people who decided to take their shot.
That is for sure, which we'll get into in a moment. Backstage, Adam Pearce congratulated Penta for retaining his title. Javon Evans, they dabbed it up a little bit. Javon's not going where. They stole the show, said Penta, and they'll do it again soon. Penta did his catchphrase, left, and then walked All Ego Ethan Page.
Let's go.
And Adam Pearce introduced him to the newest member of Monday Night Raw. Ethan asked if he had heard Evans say he wants another shot at the IC title. Page says he wants the title and wouldn't need a second chance. And Adam Pearce booked Evans versus Page for Monday Night Raw, renewing the rivalry from NXT. They had a pretty good match. Ethan Page gets his Monday Night Raw debut win. A little assist from Rusev. But All Ego gets the win. Rusev then attacked Javon Evans. Penta made the save. Rusev then put down Penta. Ethan was smiling on the apron. Rusev stared him down. And then Rusev put the accolade on Penta with approval from All Ego Ethan Page.
This was chaotic in the best possible way.
Yes.
And there are multiple directions of which this could go, and I love that for everybody involved. Because you're not quite sure who's going to get who to start, and that's okay. Because I like that, because you could do a tag team situation, you could do single situations, you could do a mix, you know, whatever you need to do. But I like that they've sort of left it up in the air for right now.
You've established three contenders for the IC title.
Mm-hmm.
You can't go wrong with having multiple contenders for a championship.
Absolutely not.
The Judgment Day came to the ring. Liv Morgan said it was the smart things that fans have said all day, which was, you deserve it. She claimed she'd be the greatest women's champion of all time. She thanked all the other members of Judgment Day, and even her opponent, Stephanie McFair. She said they beat the hell out of each other, but it reminded her who she is, which is the most talented woman in WWE. So Ruka came out. She said she's been watching Liv, and you do deserve it. And she put her over for a while, like, I've been watching all these things. Liv said Ruka had some nerve coming out here and getting the ring with her and her family. She said, you're no Liv Morgan, and told her to get the hell out of her ring. She said she didn't come out here to pick a fight at Seoul, but she wasn't going to back down from one either. Adam Pearce came out and said, this is the biggest Raw of the year, and fans seem they want to see a fight, and well, let's get a ref out here and let's make a fight. In a fight we got, Liv Morgan versus Sol Ruka, making her Monday Night Raw debut, I would assume. Full time.
Hope so.
They had a tremendous matchup on Raw. They actually worked really well together.
I would take this again, just so everybody's clear. I would take this again.
Sol Ruka proved that she belonged, but an old nemesis that she still has to wrap things up with appeared in Zarya. This allowed Liv to hit the Oblivion and beat Sol Ruka. So Zarya got her one-up on Sol Ruka for the night. And those two will meet tomorrow night on NXT Revenge on the CW. And then afterwards, they're all celebrating together the Judgment Day. They're leaving. until Stephanie Vaquer shows up. She goes face to face with Liv. You had Raquel just eyeing up the situation. Pretty good stuff.
Very good stuff. A nice fallout from sort of what happened the other night. And your scenario almost happened.
Almost.
It almost happened. I thought about that when Soul came out and they made the match. I was like, son of a bitch, they're going to get their way. God damn it.
I was like, come on, just make it for the title. Make it for the title. Come on, do the thing. And they didn't do the exact thing because I kind of talked about it. Either we talked about it Thursday or talked about it Friday, where it's like, because she has the match tomorrow, which I don't know if it was taped or not. Could have been. Might be live tomorrow. I'm not sure. But because they had the match, I don't think they wanted her to come with the IC title if she's going to go probably lose on her way out to Zarya. Or the women's world title, whatever it would be. So, But it was a good debut, nonetheless, for Sol Ruka.
I think because you had the shenanigans, like the heavy shenanigans involved in this, it's fine because it covers her.
Yeah.
Like, she shot her shot, basically, and, you know, her shot got ruined. And now she has to go down there tomorrow. She has to settle it. She has to get her revenge for that. So that just adds another layer to it. And then Soul can come back up and she can focus on settling into the division and potentially going for Liv or Rhea, depending on which show they decide to put her on. But I would kind of hope it's Raw.
I think Soul because, on Monday. I think Soul's here on Raw because she came, when I have to Mania, like, that she's here.
Yeah, it's kind of one of those things where... you need a baby face to balance Liv, especially since you're losing what would be considered your top baby face in Rhea, and she's going to SmackDown. So it makes sense to balance Rhea with Soul.
To finish up the Judgment Day stuff, Jaden McDonagh took on Finn Balor. They had a pretty good match.
They did.
Finn got the win. Dom attacked Finn afterwards. Finn fought back, was going for the coup de grace, but JD saved Dom.
I liked that the finish in this was clean.
Yeah.
Because we talked about it, I think it was Saturday night, and I don't know if we said it on air or not, but like kind of the problem with the Judgment Day is there is a specific level of fatigue that is they always cheat to win, and you very rarely see them get their comeuppance, or you very rarely see them like lose, or at least lose cleanly. So there's always something going on. So the fact that you had JD lose clean to Finn was good, and you saved the attacks for after. Like, that was kind of refreshing because it's like this needed to be settled cleanly because this is Finn on his way out of the Judgment Day. This is reestablishing the Balor Club, the demon, all of it. So you need to have Finn look so incredibly strong coming out of this, and he can't win in nefarious ways, right? Or he can't capitalize on this. He has to essentially refind his strength and move forward with that. And this is part of it, of defeating Dom in a very definitive fashion, which he did last night. Defeating JD in a definitive fashion tonight. And those are really the only two people he can fight in Judgment Day. But that is just him basically putting the period at the end of that story and being like, okay, now I'm going to move on and I'm going to go do whatever it is I'm going to do, whether he enters the world title picture, whether he enters the IC title picture. Personally, I would start targeting him towards the world. That's just me. And kind of rebuilding him into that because he can be a very serious challenger for Roman if he wants to be.
Yeah.
But you have to kind of build him back up into that. And the nice first step that they've taken is reestablishing the demon because that is really the most successful thing he's done in WWE. It's what brought him up from NXT. It's what won him the title the first time. So the fact that he's sort of like re-embracing that and bringing that back along with the Balor Club stuff, I think will be very good.
So the one impact that the demon had on Finn, did you notice it tonight?
No.
Did you notice what was missing? He lost his beard.
I didn't even fucking notice.
Go look at a picture right now.
Wait, he shaved?
Go look.
Finn, grow your beard back.
He only has the goatee. He aged down 10 years by losing the beard.
Oh my God. I mean, it's not bad.
No, it's not
bad.
But I didn't think of it last night with the paint. He had to shave the beard.
Well, you didn't know. Well, he still had it because you could see it in like around his face, like the front of his face.
But the fullness. You could see it. But the fullness. Yeah, wasn't the fullness. There. Yeah.
But you didn't notice because of the paint. And then he takes the paint off. And it's like, that makes sense entirely. Oh my God.
Yeah. I noticed in the entrance. I was like, huh, how about that?
I didn't. I wasn't even paying attention. I was just like, oh, hey, it's Finn. Let's go.
Nope. He's back to where he was 10 years ago with just a small goatee.
But it looks so good.
Austin Theory and Logan Paul are in the ring with Paul Heyman. Paul Heyman said the video guys messed up because they left Brock Lesnar in the now. He's now in the forever because he's the baddest you-know-what this business has ever seen in a WWE ring. I mean, that was a good use of the then, now, and forever. They should have removed him from the now video.
I don't think they wanted to project, like, what or telegraph what was coming. And so it's because the way they've been playing this all day is he or isn't he? What's going on with Brock Lesnar? You have to turn into Raw to find out. So leaving him in the now portion of it is very much a you still have to wait and see. Because I feel like if he had moved into the forever section, people would have been like, oh, well, there it is right there. He's retired. Whereas leaving him there where he was is, all right, well, there's still some question.
I mean, it's pretty evident. They aired a nice video package beforehand, too, for it. I think it's clear.
Look.
For now.
We have been swerved before. If Brock walks out in a salmon jacket, we know what the fuck is up. Okay, that's all I'm going to say on that. Mm-hmm. We know. We've been tricked before.
We have. Anyway, Heyman shifted to the now and the tag team champions. Logan Paul, he said, Logan Paul has a personal message for everybody. He blamed Bad Show Speed for them losing the tag match at WrestleMania. And he hates all these YouTubers and streamers getting involved in the business. Fitting. And then Paul Heyman thanked Gunther and says he cashed in the favor whenever he's willing to repay. But he talked about the person responsible for the best assist of WrestleMania weekend, and Braun Breaker. Breaker came out. He said it was a year ago in the same arena when Seth Rollins became the leader of Vision because Seth Rollins was too weak. Breaker said that his favorite part of WrestleMania weekend was watching Rollins get close to beating Gunther, then ruining everything for him. Fans chanting for Rollins. Breaker said he hoped Rollins was watching somewhere because he would be coming after him from this day forward. Rollins' music played. He came out from behind, smashed Braun Breaker with the chair, and the back of it caught the back of his head because he got busted open, what they say, the hard way.
Which means everybody should have instantly loved this because there was blood.
There was blood. So then, as he rolls out, Logan and Austin Theory are beating up on Seth Rollins. And then the return of the Street Profits to Monday Night Raw.
Let's go.
They took care of the Vision tag team. They brawl through the crowd, leaving Seth Rollins and Braun Breaker in the ring. Breaker goes for a spear, eats a super kick. Rollins goes for a stomp. Breaker avoided it, spears him, told him he's going to ruin everything until people remember him as the shell of who he used to be, and then gave him the big running spear to leave him laying.
This was vicious.
It was.
This was absolutely vicious. I loved it. And frankly, it should be, right? Like, it should be. Because between Seth and Braun, they have been waiting to get their hands on each other for what? Months? This stage?
Since October.
Since October. So almost, let's see, November, December, January, February, March, April, 6 months, seven-ish months, somewhere in there. Mm-hmm. So they've been waiting over almost a half a year to do this between injuries and everything else. So this needs to be vicious because it's Seth's anger needs to be just building inside of him about Braun, right? And everything that happened in the Vision and how he was kicked out. And then Braun's anger needs to be about Seth and be not necessarily for the same reason, but for other reasons, like whatever his motivation was. So like the fact that when these two finally came together, not at WrestleMania, but like actually tonight, the fact that you had it be just absolutely visceral and them just throwing hands at each other and fighting and even Braun getting busted open even though it was entirely accidental, it works because now blood has been drawn and that just takes us to a whole other level.
Unintentional blood. For
unintentional
sure.
Blood. Like they didn't mean to do it, but we talked about this before, where it's every once in a while where blood will make an impact. It's nice to have it. Doesn't need to happen all the time in every match. For every little thing, it doesn't need to be there. But for this, just the visual of Braun covered in blood after Seth's attack, after he left Seth laying, that's going to carry him really far. Because he just looked dominant after that.
He sure did. He sure did. All right, the best in the world, CM Punk. He said he's dealt with a loss lately. Talked about losing his MMA trainer, Duke Rufus, Larry, his dog, the crew members that have been lost. And he lost the World Heavyweight Championship, and it stings less than the other losses he mentioned, but, you know, it's still a loss. He thanked the fans for helping deal with his grief. He recalled winning the championship even though he wasn't supposed to. He said he stays ready and the fans would have seen Jey Uso as the champion had he not. Punk talked about staying ready because you never know when a championship opportunity might fall from the sky. He said he would keep fighting and wasn't taking time away. And then the music of the WWE champion, Cody Rhodes, played. His eye. Let's just talk about that. Cody's eye is a mess.
Oh, God. You want to talk about a shiner. Like, God damn.
The fact that he can see today is something.
That I feel like that is a lot of, like, Advil and ice, where they have just done everything they possibly can to take the swelling down just to see if he can open his eye and see out of it. Because it's an orbital fracture, right?
Yeah, that's the reported idea.
So yeah, like you got to be really careful, and he's going to have to rest that. And that's if he doesn't need surgery. But yeah, his eye, man.
Brutal.
It's his face is just messed up.
Punk was confused. Punk, did I go over my time or something? Cody was like, it's your time and then your show. And I'm just a little surprised by your demeanor. Punk asked Cody if he thought he was going to freak out. Cody said, yes. Cody said he didn't know what to do. He said he was the one feeling, looking like a loser. And Punk's like, wait, are you saying I should feel like a loser? He's like, no, stop it. We're friends. Don't feel like a loser. Punk said maybe he looks like one and pointed out that he has the weird tattoo of a marshmallow on a stick. Punk said Cody beat a friend and a mentor, and that's why he feels the way he does. Punk said it was easy for him to fight someone who he hates. Punk said it's okay that he's technically a loser. And he said heavy is the head that wears the crown, and it wasn't his on Sunday, and told Cody just keep being champion. And as he was talking, he looked directly at the WWE Championship. He goes, you never know when a championship opportunity is going to just fall out of the sky. Punk leaves. Cody saw what he was doing and goes, hey, Punk, just say when. Punk smiled.
Done.
Whether it's at SummerSlam, Survivor Series, Royal Rumble, WrestleMania. There's your tease.
Sold. Done. Do it. Book it.
Cody vs. Punk at Saudi Mania. Oh, that would be something, huh?
That would be something, yeah. I mean, it would be good for SummerSlam. It would be good for Rumble. It would be good for Mania. I think it just depends on how long you want to keep Cody as champion and how you want to do Punk, because I don't think you can have Punk win Money in the Bank again, because I think he's just coming off of that. But yeah, like, and at this point, I don't think Punk needs to win Money in the Bank. I think he can just look at Cody and be like,
be a thing.
Huh?
Just needs to be a thing. It doesn't have to be, he doesn't have to earn it any specific way.
Yeah, no, he can just literally walk out and be like, yo, let's go. And that's it. That's all we need. But yeah, that was a very nice tease.
Cody may lose it. He may have to lose it. With the way.
If Cody has to have surgery, he's going to have to give it up. And that would be Punk's prime opportunity to go for it, if they want.
Jack A. Redman was interviewing Guther. He said a fantastic beat after beating Seth Rollins at WrestleMania. He asked Guther if he and Paul Heyman were aware that Bron Breakker was in Vegas, and he's like, there's no me in Heyman. Guther was focused on the world title. LA Knight appears, who said Guther isn't the only one who has eyes on the World Heavyweight Championship. Knight said Guther had helped winning a WrestleMania match. It was like a 3-on-1, which counts as an L. And then he told him he'll see him around. So looks like we're getting LA Knight and Guther at some point, probably for a contendership.
Okay. I will not complain about that.
And we learned one more thing. There's a new superstar coming to Raw next week, and he's holding a concert.
Elias?
Elijah. Is his name now. It's Elijah, not Elias. The person that is coming to Monday Night Raw.
Say his name and he appears. I believe in Joe Hendry. I believe in Joe Hendry.
The newest Raw superstar. And he'll be in concert next week.
That wakes Brent up. That gets Brent's attention.
Apparently. Yeah. So, Joe Hendry on Monday Night Raw going forward. It was a matter of
time. Okay.
But to close out Monday Night Raw was your tribal chief, Roman Reigns. But before he comes out, he sees his cousins backstage and they dab each other up. They're like, all right, cool. Cool. And Roman's ready to go out. And then he does the thing like, all right, come on, guys. Come on. Come on. Let's go. Come on. Come with me. Come with me. Let's go have a party. But more somber in Roman Reigns style. But like, come on. Come on, kids. We're going to do a thing. So he brought his cousins out with him. He asked Vegas to acknowledge him. He said he was going to talk about the title and business moving forward. But then he saw his cousins and went, let's discuss some family business. He goes, I miss this. He missed their trust, their respect, their love, and admiration. He said he missed doing business with them. And it's crazy that when they're not together, CM Punk can just run his mouth. And then some washed rapper from the 90s can just run his mouth at Jey Uso. But when they're together, it's a united front. They ran this business as the Bloodline for 4 years. And he didn't want them to serve him. Just be his blood and stand with him. Jimmy said to Roman, you'll always be their tribal chief. They all held up the ones. And as Roman was about to put up his one, Jacob Fatu appears. Roman's like, I haven't seen you in a while. I assume that you're here to acknowledge me. Jacob's like, nope. He assumes you want the title then, Jacob, right? I just don't want the world championship. I need the world championship. I need everything. The shoe deal, the Rolex, more cars, a bigger house. I need to do all this to put my children in a better school. He's going to do anything for his family, even if he has to go through Roman Reigns. And he goes, you and me, backlash, backlash. He repeated the word backlash. So reminding everyone that backlash is coming up very shortly. And he's going to take the world championship from Roman Reigns at Backlash. And Roman's like, I agree with you, Jacob. I want those things for you. But can you beat me? Maybe you can, but maybe you can't. Could you handle the burden of this title? Could he also handle the burden of acknowledging him if he lost? They're thin at the top of the mountain. Next week, Jacob, you give me your answer. Give me 1 week to think about it. Can you handle this? And he goes, I'll see you next week on Raw, little cousin. And that's how Raw ended with a cliffhanger.
Ta-da. Oh my God, not a cliffhanger.
Ta-da.
Not a cliffhanger.
By God, who needs a cliffhanger? But yeah, this was good. It was a surprise.
I've seen a mixed reaction to this, and I'm going to admit, I don't want to see the Bloodline again. I don't want to see them do it again, especially as Roman is champion. Like, I would just say to Jay and Jimmy, don't forget how he treated you the last time. That's all I'm gonna say, because that could happen again. And also there's, you know, Jay's whole, I guess they toned down his instability a little bit, or his anger issues or something that he was having. I don't know. I guess he's good now. There's also that kind of lurking in the background. I think I would prefer that if you're gonna do Roman and Jacob, that you do it one-on-one. You do not have the Usos involved in this.
No, I don't think they're going to be in that much.
But even as like standing behind Roman as backup, right? Even that, don't have that there. It should be Roman and Jacob. Like if you're gonna do it and give Jacob that shine, which they'll do anyway because Jacob is fucking amazing. But like, I think that's my only thing with it. Like, I thought all of it was really good. I thought it was well done. Roman did his Roman thing. Jacob was fantastic. But, like, I think the only thing is I sort of stand with everybody that's saying we do not want to see the Bloodline again. We just don't want to see it. It's, I know we're 2-ish years removed from the original Bloodline falling apart, but it hasn't really gone away on SmackDown. There's still an iteration of it around. And now that Roman is champion again, I don't want them to fall back on that. Just because they don't know what else to do with Roman, right? Like, they're like, we don't know how to have Roman Reigns as champion solo. He needs backup. And so we're going to put the Usos back with him and sort of like erase the Usos again and put them under Roman. And so I would hope that like this is maybe his cousins were just there to congratulate him and this was a one-time thing, and this is sort of a nice little callback to the Bloodline, but this is not actually the Bloodline, and then that's it, and the Usos go do their amazing tag team thing or solo things, whatever they prefer. But yeah, I don't want to see this be permanent.
I think when it's convenient, they'll be together. That's my take. And if it's when it's convenient, bring them together.
Yeah.
But everyone should still do their own thing. So if it's for 3 weeks, they're running a thing with Jacob and the Usos are around, they're around. And then once that's done, they go off and do their own thing. Cool. We'll see. But this was Raw after Mania. It was great.
I enjoyed this tremendously. It felt like a Raw after Mania. Like, it was a great follow-up to last night and to Saturday. And I love everything that we kicked off tonight in terms of the teasers and the potential stories and the direction and where everything's kind of going. I like that there were a lot of cliffhangers and unknowns because that's what you want. And it's nice to see, too, fresh blood come up from NXT, at least onto Raw. We'll see what happens on SmackDown, because I'm sure they'll get some people, too. But also some changes on the roster, right? Like Jacob coming out and challenging Roman. So Rhea going to SmackDown.
The Street Profits coming over from SmackDown. We had three call-ups from NXT tonight.
Like, we're seeing a very quiet refresh of the roster for Raw, and that's great, because that gives us new stories and new places to go. And we'll see what happens.
But apparently in Vegas, when at the indie shows, casinos were blocking people from themselves having water backstage, because the casinos apparently wanted people to pay for the water for the wrestlers.
I'm so shocked.
No, for I'm the so wrestlers. Shocked. For wrestlers themselves. Like, they couldn't have it in the back.
Yeah, that's I'm dumb. So shocked. They wanted that money. Of course
they did.
It's Vegas.
It's dumb, though.
Welcome to capitalism.
Apparently one show had to hide their water outside to avoid getting fined.
I don't even know what to say to that. Other than I'm sorry that happened to them. It's stupid. I fully agree it's stupid. And it's greedy is what it actually is. It's beyond greedy that it's... You should not be forcing people to pay for water to begin with. It should be free because it's, you know, water. But, like, if they want to go to CVS and they want to buy a bunch of 12-pack or 24-packs of CVS and bring them, you shouldn't penalize them. If anything, if you want them to pay for water, you incentivize them by saying, hey, if you buy this package from us or you buy these products from us, we'll give you something for it. Instead of trying to screw you over. Because I promise you, the reason they didn't pay for it from the hotels was it was expensive as shit. That's why they didn't want to buy it.
Yep. Apparently $9 a bottle.
$9? Almost $10 for a bottle of water. You can get a 24-pack of water for like $5 at the grocery store. And don't tell me it's goddamn designer water either, because it's water. It all comes from the same goddamn tap. They just put a different label on it.
But that'll do it for the Raw Post Show live right here on the Raw Talk Radio Network. We're back for night two of WrestleMania review this Thursday on the Rack.
That's right. Tune in. We will be talking WrestleMania night two, giving our thoughts and opinions. And I promise. No yelling, or at least minimal yelling, unlike, you know, night one. But that's fine, so tune in. It's The Rack, Thursday night, 10 p.m. Eastern, right here on WallTalkRadio.com.
I promise nothing. Saturday night, 11:30 p.m. Eastern, another edition of CB Radio. And Sunday, they're back for Wrestle Talk Radio at 10 p.m. Eastern. We'll be back next Monday night for the Raw Post Show. When Raw ends, live to talk all about it. It's at Wild Talk Radio. It's Facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio. Or chat if you have Amazon Prime, link to your Twitch account. It's not Prime Gaming, it's not Twitch Prime, it's just Prime. Click the purple button below the screen. You can use credit code ROCKINSOCK or
Lin's M word.
In the Horror Night Item Shop, where Epic Games Store, when you buy Stone Cold Steve Austin, the Women's World Champion Liv Morgan, the WWE Undisputed Champion Cody Rhodes, The Undertaker, Brain Run, Toy Story, K-Pop Demon Hunters, and more, because we are
#EpicPartners. You can follow me on most of the social medias at Linz Ward, LNSWD. You can check me out on Twitch, twitch.tv/Linz Ward. You can follow me on YouTube, youtube.com/@SymbolLinzWard. And you can follow me on TikTok, Linz Ward Zero.
We'll see you Thursday for the rack. Right back here every Monday night, along the airwaves of the Wild Talk Radio Network.
WildTalkRadio.com.